In 2012, Carly Sakin and Daniel Weisberg founded The Skim from their couch. Now, 6 years later, their morning newsletter gives over 7 million subscribers the news and information they need to start their day. When they first started the company, they got a lot of advice from other female entrepreneurs. Now they're sharing those conversations and more on their podcast, Skimmed from the Couch. Every week, you'll hear from women like Arianna Huffington, founder of the Huffington Post, and Thrive on why she puts her phone to bed at night. Or how actor Taraji P. Henson got over her first rejection and learned how to negotiate for herself. It's a podcast about the real stuff. Tips and tricks to launch, grow, and change your career. The only rule on the couch? No BS. Check out Skim from the Couch wherever you listen to podcasts. Hello, everyone. Nikki Marie back on the air. I had an amazing conversation with two very good friends of mine last night. Ray Victory and The Friend is what he would like to call himself. So we had a conversation about being in the friend zone, how to get out of the friend zone. We talked about politics. We talked about race. I think the conversation was very interesting, and I think that you would find it very intriguing, especially for my ladies out there. I'm having a conversation with two men, and they both have different views on relationships, and I think it's a very eye-opening conversation. So I'm calling it the open conversation because it transitions from friends to lust. I'm trying to keep it G-rated, but it transitions from, you know, being friends and having a relationship to race and how that plays in the world, and then it turns into politics. So it's a very long conversation, but I think that you would really appreciate it. So stay tuned for that. It's coming up next. All right. What do you guys think about the friend zone?
The friend zone is horrible. Like, that's where you don't want to be.
Why?
It's just because you know you like the person. You know you want more than being a friend. And you're settling because just because you want to be around that person. Like, can't do that. No friend zone for me.
What do you think?
Friend zone is, especially when you're in your teens and 20s, when you start learning about the friend zone, you try to do everything you can to, you know, get with the chick.
Not be in it.
And you're thinking that you're not in it and you're actually on your way because she's calling and she wants to hang out. But then when you put it on, it's like, yo, you should hook up. And then she'd be like, what? I thought we were just friends. And you're like, that's right, the friend zone. And that's when you start learning a little bit more and more about it. So then you get your heart shattered. But then you still want to be friends with them because you still think there's a chance. But that's when you're actually in the friend zone. So then you try to move on to the next, and then you find yourself like, okay, we're going to do something different. Okay, what are you going to do different? I'm not going to tell her that I want to get with her. She's just going to recognize it.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, still.
What do you guys do to show someone that you like them?
Well, here's a, let's backtrack a little bit.
Because you guys are mad old.
Ray Victory right now, Ray Victory. You didn't even announce who we are. Like, yo, what's up?
I'm the friend.
There's the friend. There's friend zone.
The friend and the friend.
Friend zone.
The friend and
friend
the friend
zone and Ray Victory. That's me. So, Ray Victory says.
This is what you do. You speak in third person.
Yes. To you, Dina DePonica.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Ray Victory says, friend zone is for punks. It's for dudes that are too scared to just say what they want and who they are. Like, you could actually have a really good friendship. You learn over time, over experience, I should say, not over time, because you got to put yourself out there. If you don't put yourself out there, you can't get anything, and that's just attributable to everything you do in life. So if you're too afraid to tell that girl what you want from her and give her the opportunity to tell you no and stop telling yourself no in your head, you know, like, you can really make some gains if you decide to not do that. Like, but if you, you know, if you just continuously say, okay, I got to this point where I'll just be your friend and we'll see, she'll recognize, she'll see what type of great guy I am, and she's telling me about the other guys that she's dating. Yeah. Like, why would you want to torture yourself with that? You know, I can't do it. And I did it, like, younger, and I realized how horrible of a situation it was, and I stopped. I can't.
That was like the screw you friend zone.
Yeah, I was like, no, the heck with the friend zone. Sorry, it's a horrible place to be. I told you.
And I'm going to call bullshit on some of that.
Oh, okay. God.
And this is why.
Okay. Right.
Because it's a game. When you learn how to play the game, it works to be a little bit different.
Wait, can you explain?
Is what I mean by the game. So.
I'm listening to this. This is
when
deep.
You act like you don't give a damn. I should say it because we're on radio now, supposedly. On a podcast. Mm-hmm. When you act like you don't give a damn, so you're going to be attracted to someone. And next thing you know, they see a certain side of you. It's like, oh shit, like, I look good or I'm pretty, but he's not even saying anything about like how good I look or whatever. He just loves hanging out, whatever, but he's acting like an asshole. So I need to find a way, and this is from a chick's perspective, for me anyway, from what I see, is, oh, he's not paying me any attention, telling me how good I look or whatever, not asking me to go out, whatever. So I need to start making myself look good so he can actually start recognizing me. All a game. So now all of a sudden there's a lightness that she's experiencing to him and saying, oh, now I need to start making myself look good so I can start looking more attractive to him. So now I like him because I like the way he is. Because you know what? It's a game. So I need to start making myself attractive for him. So now what they're going to do is they're going to start going out of their way. And now all of a sudden they're going to start liking him and vice versa. Males do the same thing. What am I going to do to get her to like me? And it's all a freaking game every single time.
You know what? professional Frenchster or whatever.
Doctor?
This is Ray Victor. This is what Ray Victory said. Ray Victory says, you know what? I do respect what you're saying because, yeah, there are a lot of games out there. Shoot, I have a 16-year-old daughter, and I try to school her on some of these games, and she'd be schooling me on some of the games. But my point is in, if you have no game, which is me, I just am me at this point. Like, I talk to people, and, you know, you either like me or you don't. Like, but what I do take pride in is that you gotta be an asshole if you don't like me. Or I might have done something to you. Like, you know, there's probably a couple women that could be like, yo, he's a complete asshole. Like, you know, I've definitely ghosted some chicks. Like, you know, I just didn't talk to them anymore because I just wasn't happy. And I was like, it just wasn't a good thing. But anyway. but on the regular, I get along with people and I talk to people. So it's, I find that when you take a direct approach to who you are, it's not a matter of what you're saying, it's how you say it. So there's no game to me. I'm not playing a game and I can only control me. So if I'm saying to you who I am and you're actually listening to me, then cuts through all of the BS of these imaginary games, in my opinion, that are out there. And in the end, you know what? I'm divorced. I was married for 12 years. I have a child. I am a good dad. If I went out on a limb and got divorced after 12 years, and I'm okay right now, there ain't no problem firing somebody that I've been dating for a year, and I am just not getting along with. That is just who I am. So, you know, ain't no games in my world. Anyways, so no friends to for me. I got enough friends. I got good friends. I'm sitting here talking to y'all on a podcast. I'm good.
So, there's always someone out there. There's always someone that's out there for everyone, for one. And two, women, to me anyway, they're attracted to your aura and they're attracted to your confidence in yourself. So if you've got this big confidence in yourself, you know what, they're going to be extremely attracted to that. And then your aura, because you bring this so much positive aura, like that's going to be around you, it just attracts more. And whether it's males or females or whatever, you're just going to get that attractiveness that's always going to surround you because you got that positive aura that's surrounding you. And then you have so much confidence in yourself, which is going to attract more women to you or attract relationships to you. Whether it's an intimate relationship or just a friendship relationship type thing, whatever. But if you got that going on, you'll have it and you'll have it easy. But once the negative starts going on, and this is why the whole complaining thing, or, you know, you start building that negative aura around you, you're going to start realizing and start seeing that a lot of people don't want to be around you. And whether it's male or female or whatever.
You know, you're right, because when you're negative, you're negative. I mean, I find that a lot of people are negative in some ways. But I mean, in steering the conversation kind of back to what we were talking about when it comes to being in the friend zone, like, it was something that I just never enjoyed. And I found that by being direct, you do learn some things. You learn how to approach people, but it gets you where you need to go. Like, you know, people are going to tell you, nah, you know, I'm good. Like, I don't want to be that way. Or, oh, I didn't know you looked at me that way. Hell yeah, let's do it. You know,
do you think that you go out and you find attractive females to be your friend just to get in bed with them?
Never. Like, first of all, I'm still, you know, Ray Victory is still shy. Like, I don't approach women on some, you know, yo, baby, yo, you know. Like, for me, I am more into meeting people a matter-of-factly, you know what I mean? And I'm not going to pretend that I am your friend to get with you. I'm going to let you know early on, yo, I'm attracted to you, wow. But, you know, it's still hard for me to see a woman go, oh my God, she's gorgeous, and roll up on her and just be like, hey, yo, how you doing? I don't want to be like every other guy. So I am more of the voyeur. I watch for a while and, you know, put myself in that situation and see if it works. Because if it's supposed to work, it will. You know, you have to put yourself in that situation. If you're supposed to meet that person, you will.
That's right.
You know, but you have to believe that. And I believe that. Like, I know that, you know, if, you know, we are nothing but energy. So there's
laws of attraction.
Yeah, there's good energy and there's bad energy.
That's right.
And, you know, I've more than often, you know, wandered my way into good energy. And that's why there's always a story. I've got many stories to tell. You know, and it's fun and it's great. Sometimes it's not so fun. But for the most part, it's like good energy is good energy, you know? So I look for that. And when I don't feel good energy, I separate myself from it. It's that simple.
Is that easy to do? To separate yourself?
No, it's never easy because you the thing about energy is that there's still a combination of energy with that bad energy. That's how you build a tolerance to it. That's how you learn from it. You know what I mean? Like, you still have to meet that person. You still have to interact with that person.
Right.
Depending on how bad the energy is will depend on how easy it is to separate from it. Like, when you meet somebody and you are just getting a bad fucking vibe from them, it's easy to just be like, oh, all right, yo, I'm going to go to the bathroom. Oh, I got to go home. Deuces, I'm done. You know what I mean?
See you next Tuesday.
Yeah. But then... But then you get into the realm of dating, where it's like, oh, I'm attracted to this person physically, but then over time I learn I'm not so attracted to them from a relationship standpoint. That's when it's hard to separate. That's when you're like, am I being an asshole? You know, am I being petty? That's where you question yourself. But as you get older and as you have more, what I should say is, as I have gotten older and gotten more experience in the dating world, in the dating realm, and I apologize to all the ladies that I've learned about myself on, I really do. You know, I realize, okay, yeah, man, you got some deal breakers, bro. You really do. Like, you will fire somebody in a minute over intimacy. You will. Like, I know I will. Like, I seriously, like, if I don't have a certain level of intimacy with my woman, it's over, because I don't want to cheat on you. Like, I'm going to cheat on you. Like, that's what's going to happen. So, why waste your time?
I know. Moving on.
Sorry. Weren't we talking about friend zone? We were talking about weed.
They should legalize weed everywhere.
Really,
then now we got into the friend zone.
Right, well, let's talk about... let's give advice to people of how not to get into their friend zone.
Can I get my own segment called Peace Pipe Time? Peace Pipe
Time. Hey, that could be your... she's got coffee time with her mother.
Yeah.
Peace Pipe
yeah.
Time yeah, with Ray time. Victory.
you should work on that. By yourself, though.
Yeah. How do you not get into a friend zone? What are some things that we could do to
not be direct? Direct.
Look, I don't want to be your friend.
Right?
I don't want to be your friend. Okay.
All right. So having that positiveness that's going on about
Hold on. From a female perspective.
All right,
please.
If you tell me from day one. This is what I'm looking for. Because when you go on a date or whatever, like when I was doing my speed dating, you have to tell the person, hey, let me just tell you, I am single. I plan to be single. I don't want to have children. Like, you have to have these conversations from the very beginning.
No. And what? No. Yes. No, I agree. But this is what happens when you do that. When a man...
You don't waste my time anymore.
When men do that, all right, and he's experienced it.
There we go.
I've experienced it. And plenty of men...
No.
Because this is what happens when you say things like that. You know what that does to a man or to a woman? It's a challenge for them. It's an absolute challenge.
That's a one way of looking at it.
What do you mean one way of looking at it? So if I'm going to come to you and I'm like, look, I'm single. I have no children. Look, I just want to go out and I just want to have a good time.
Then I would know.
Whether that's what you
now, I'm going to speak for myself because I can't speak for other females who think differently. But when I think of myself, I'm thinking of, if you tell me from the jump, this is how I want it to be, blah, 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 I'm going to not fall in love with you, or I'm not going to waste my time.
Right. She might give you some.
I might give you a little something.
And so give some.
She ain't staying, though.
Give some.
The thing is that some females, when they are intimate with the person, they just instantly fall in love.
Right.
But there are some females who just want to get off too.
They body body.
And they won't even think twice.
Now, you're talking from a 20-year-old female, 30-year-old female.
I'm talking from a 35-year-old female.
Hey, age. When you get older,
any age.
When you get older, it's different.
They're different priorities.
But like I said, there are certain things where some females will be strong-minded or strong-willed enough to say, I'm not going to waste my time
absolutely
with so-and-so.
I don't agree.
Because all I have is
so
time.
That means you can't give it up. So if he lays the D, good.
Good.
I might keep coming back for more, but I'm not exactly going to allow myself to fall for you.
That's BS.
Whatever.
No.
We're all
Cállate la boca.
It's just... So, all right. So,
it's not necessary.
Now, all of a sudden, the D is not available anymore.
Then you get you an no electronic battery operated
no
D.
There's no other prospects. No other prospects that's around. And now, all of a sudden, the D is not available anymore.
Right.
You use your fingers.
Wow.
You go and get you a toy or two.
So, physical attraction. How does attraction work first, right? So, when you see a female, you see a male, what's the first thing that attracts you to them? Is it the physical appearance? Is it the mental
physical
appearance?
It's
physical,
it's
right?
It's first. Always
absolutely
physical.
It's always physical.
Easy on the eyes.
So now, he says, he goes out there and he's like, look, this is what I'm looking for. Like, I'm single, no kids, I just want to go out, have a good time. We'll have a good time. But then you know what? You start like conversing, you're having conversations like, yo, this dude is mad cool. Like, I can definitely see myself, like, whatever. But, and then he's laying it on you too, or doing whatever, right? But after the physicalness, then you start getting attracted to the emotional side, the mental side or whatever. But, and you see that he, she, right? All of a sudden you're having great conversations. I'm sorry, you're saying that he's having a great,
What point are you trying to make?
The point I'm trying to make is you cannot help yourself. You cannot control yourself and say,
are you talking
you
about
know what?
You're talking about yourself.
I'm talking about yourself.
You
speak for other people. You have to speak for you.
But we're all human. That's just how it is.
But yeah, that is your perception.
We all have
that's what you
want to
perceive.
So you tell me that
what is your view? You tell us what is your view, not what you think most people.
Look, after hold up. After I was in that long-term relationship, got a divorce, right? You think I fell for any of them dudes out there? I was enjoying myself. I was spreading my oats.
I get it.
You know?
I was opposite.
And I wasn't falling for any of them.
But here's the thing. You weren't ready because I told you and I told you my little hiatus. You just, if you're not ready, you're not ready. But when I'm talking about when you're like good, you're like just good to go and you're having great conversations with someone.
See.
And that other person's not feeling, you cannot tell me that just like, oh, he's not feeling that, she's not feeling that way. So, you know what? Yeah. Time to move on.
It is time to move on.
It is, but can you just cut it off just like that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And wow. You know why? Because I'm in it because I was physically attracted to you, not because I was mentally attracted to you. So I was physically attracted to you enough to start talking to you. Now that I see that we are not getting along from a standpoint of how we're going to interact, it's easy to go, yo, we can't even talk, so what the hell? Like, I don't care how good you look. I'm done.
What is your point in getting in a relationship?
What do you mean?
Like, you get into a relationship for what?
To be with them. Like,
companionship?
Yeah. To be with them long term. Companionship. Absolutely.
So then why would you even waste your time on someone that you don't even see
you
spending
the
rest
first
of your life with?
But you
can
date. All right. I will get what you say because everybody's not the same. I get it.
That's right. That's why you have to speak for yourself.
For myself, what I do is I put myself out there to see if we can have a future together. So I will, of course, physical attraction comes first, and then we start getting the minds. After we start getting to the minds, we can then see, okay, I can see myself being with her. If she doesn't feel the same way and that I feel, then one, I would be hurt. Two, I couldn't just let go just like that.
You'd be a stalker.
No, I wouldn't necessarily be a stalker. I wouldn't necessarily be a stalker. Because all you have to do is just do something stupid, and then I just put a hex on your ass.
The little master. You know, we have a chicken foot in the ground.
That's right. Nah, but serious though. It's like, once you can't, for me anyway, all right, that, again, for me, I cannot just cut my feelings off just like that. I can't be like, okay, but you know what? If it didn't get to that next level, like if I didn't sleep with her, if I didn't do, go on dates or whatever, if it was just like fell into the friend zone, if it didn't happen, you know what? I lost, whatever, part ways, good. But if I slept with her and felt there was something good, and then all of a sudden, you know, I felt that she didn't feel the same way, you know what? It's going to bother me. It would absolutely bother me.
You've always been the hopeless romantic, we've been friends a long time, but...
Ray, just to cut it off, though, she's shaking her head.
But Ray Victory... <she's shaking> Ray Victory says, you know, that hopeless romantic falling into the friend zone thing, it is, although, you know, in some cases, I envy it. Because it's like you want, you know, ultimately, that's what I'd like. I'd like to be, like, dumb in love with somebody. But it's like, this is where I agree with you that there's so many games. And by game, I define, you know...
I'm not talking about you spitting game. I'm talking about just games in general.
Yes, games in general.
Mind games.
You know, with women... You know, and not to seem chauvinistic in regards to it, is just how I feel. Like, my experience has shown me that, you know, women are definitely smarter than men. It's
of course
okay,
we are.
You know, I understand that. But, you know, you're a smart man when you realize that and go, all right, well, you need to be direct because they are so smart that you can, you know, you can talk to them and, you know, they'll realize, all right, well, this is how my man is. I can try to change him all I want, but if he's saying, this is who I am, I can't change him. So I either settle in or whatever. We gotta have a conversation. So, you know, I think you're going about the wrong way. I'm going about it my way.
I know.
At the end of the day, it's about what we want to do. You have to know you. Like, know thyself is such a profound statement for me.
I know, but there's a difference between someone wanting to change you and someone that wants to help you along.
Make you better.
Yes.
I agree with you.
Okay.
But you have to know the difference.
Absolutely. You have to know the difference, and that's what I'm saying. It's when people say, now, the experience that you told me about before, and about, oh, can you get me a glass of juice and make my food or whatever, that's bullshit. But when somebody says, you know what, you need, and this is just generally speaking, like,
sure,
you need to lay off the weed a little bit.
Sure, absolutely. Like, if you're
so,
like,
right?
Yo.
So if somebody says something like that, like with her, she will say, you need to lay off your damn screwdrivers. You know, right. When somebody says something like that, they doing it to better you.
They're trying to help you.
Exactly. So... you knowing the difference between that, if somebody says, go make my food, or can you give me something to eat? You know what? No.
Go to Burger King and get me some fries.
Well, you know, that we're already entrenched, so no.
But
it's not the same.
There's also...
GFY.
You know, there's a fine line with that, too. Because there's the, you know, babe, you're smoking, like, every day. And then there's the, okay, you only smoke, you know, on weekends, or...
But everybody has a different type of degree.
And that is what I'm trying to say. Like, if you have somebody that's just against smoking, like, I've dated girls who are just against it.
then that's not for you.
But if I was with them, it was the most confusing thing, because if I was just partying with just them, if we're at home chilling, they were okay with it. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I gotta be with you to smoke? Like, but outside of that, you're like, no, you don't want me to smoke when I'm outside of you? Like, come on, man. Like, stop trying to control me. Well, like, let me do what I want to do.
Those are insecurities, though.
Right. That is the fine line.
That's between a turn off compromise. Too, right?
It is such a compromise. Yeah. It is such a turn off. Like, don't try to control me. Like, don't keep...
Well, why do you consider that controlling?
Because, you know what? I'm 44 years old. However I got here...
I know, but why is that controlling? I don't think
because if I am not doing anything to hurt anybody or hurt that person, they just dislike it to the point where they're just trying to get me to stop. No, I feel like that's a control.
What do you think from a female perspective? If she's trying to get him to stop, to me, I would say I
think it's a matter of she cares about your health. But then again, you're well, saying. Don't like but then, Duco. But do then again, wait. But then again, you're saying when you're around certain people, it's okay.
Yeah.
But if it's not,
that's control.
Then
that's not
it's
preference.
A problem. So
I think that's insecurities.
But insecurities about what?
Insecurities are what drive control.
But what are you talking about?
Because I don't. I can see where you're going to say drives control, but if somebody that's insecure, I don't think it necessarily means that they're going to try to control you. I just think that they're insecure. Like if you go out and go smoke somewhere, then you know what? Oh, he was smoking with me. You know what? We were sitting in the living room and we were smoking together. Now, you know what? He's off doing it by himself. Who was he with? You know what? Maybe he's going to start getting a little connection with that other person. More than likely a chick, and that's gonna be in her head. So
is it a chick?
No. But from a female perspective, that's probably what she's thinking. So it would be more insecurities than her trying to control you.
Well, I mean, the thing is that it goes hand in hand. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Like, you know, I can't. So in the end, and I would say this openly anyway, I don't want to date an insecure chick. I don't want to date a girl.
As you should.
Who, you know what I'm saying? Who's going to be like, well, I don't want her to...
I don't want her to
vibe with somebody who, like, you know what the truth is I would rather be with a woman who would be like, yo, babe, you going to roll so we can smoke? Like, that's who I want to be with. Not somebody who's like, oh, I don't really like smoking. Fuck that. No, can you...
Absolutely.
Can you still function... When I met you, were you smoking and still functioning, holding your own, doing what you gotta do? Like, as long as you are doing what you gotta do and you're not calling me and saying, Chris, can I borrow $50 for some weed? Like, then we good.
Borrow $50 for some weed?
as long as you are handling your business within your own right, keep doing that. I'm gonna keep doing that, doing me. I'm gonna keep doing me, and then we'll learn how to meld our words together, our worlds together. But if you are leaning on me while we're dating, like, come on, man. Like, you ain't even handling your own stuff. Like, so yeah, that if I have a preference, you can be able to handle your business when I meet you, because you would require the same of me. Like, not too many women, you know, even though now, like, because, you know, especially, unfortunately, a lot of African-American and Latina men, we're not handling our business. So, you got these successful women just picking up men because they're good men, you know, and, you know, they won't leave them, you know, that's a whole different story. But for me, as Ray Victory says, be able to handle your business.
I agree with that shit.
If you can't handle your business on your own, I don't want to deal with you. Please.
There are a lot that are mad successful black men out there. And then this is when the whole meat, for me, my perspective, mine, is when the freaking media starts getting involved. And we talked about this before. And I have this so ingrained in my head that nobody's going to be able to ever change my mind. So, what I always say is, whenever there's a feel-good story, and think about the news, and put your mind, like, when you watch the news, if there's ever a feel-good story, and what I mean by feel-good story is like somebody that's triumphed, somebody that's came back from, you know, whether it's cancer, somebody, you know, beat the crap out of somebody and they ran a marathon, whatever, like whatever it is, it's always the white face. Always the white face.
What do you mean?
Meaning a feel-good story. So if you watch the news, for instance, so one in particular was the...
Could I ask a question?
Sure.
Are you like referencing when I said that like a lot of black and Latino men don't have this shit together? Is that what you mean about like feel-good stories and white people?
He's getting there.
I was going to get there.
I lost you for a second. Yeah. My bad.
No,
it's the rain. It's the rainness.
Because I'm assuming that you meant like we lost ourselves, and I would call bullshit on that.
As men? As black men?
Yeah.
No. Black Hispanic men. The black Hispanic, listen, there's just as many white men that are not successful as there are black men that are not successful. It's just that from a media standpoint, and then, you know, assholes, whether they be white, black, or Hispanic, will say, oh, you know, but on a percentage scale, black men are not as successful. But it's because we don't have the same opportunities as other races. So can you be successful as a black man? Of course you can. You just have to understand and know that you have to go through more.
You have to go harder.
And unfortunately, there, especially in this younger generation, you have to admit that there are a lot of young black men that are just lost. But and see, it's not necessarily their fault, but it doesn't matter whose fault it is. What matters is that you have to get yourself back on track. And as an African-American woman, if you just want to date an African-American male, are there successful African-American males out there? Absolutely, there are. But there also are a lot of guys who don't have their stuff together. But they got game. And that's scary.
But see, no.
Yes.
Dumb.
All right, I want to go back to this feel-good story.
No.
Sorry.
Because, no.
My bad.
Because here's the thing. Here's the thing. It's because, and this is, and you kind of referenced it when you were talking about the media. And this is my problem. It's like, every black person that I associate myself with, you know what? You guys are successful. We're successful. Why? Because not in trouble. Whether we and whatever you want to define yourself as
successful,
as exactly
true,
right? To me, if your ass is not in jail or in the freaking 6 feet under, or you're like and not homeless or whatever, you're gonna be successful. Like you're successful. So just finding those people. So back to the media part. You know what portrays out there in the media every single time? Every single time. When you see black faces, you see Spanish faces, and now it's starting to transition into Spanish. Every single time you see us like this, locked up, you see a freaking mugshot or whatever in there.
Yeah.
Every time. Every single time. And you know what's like sealed it for me? The Starbucks freaking story.
Man, that was
with
crazy.
The two black dudes just sitting there. They just showed them sitting there talking. And the next thing you know, the next clip, locked up. Like,
just because someone called. Like, bro, I was like, wow. And that's happening
like,
more and
in
more.
In handcuffs being let out.
Yeah. All they were doing was sitting there. It was crazy. I will not touch and that's nothing what the, from but Starbucks it's ever
the,
again.
I'm telling you right now, and she knows, like, it's the media. I'm telling you. But like, every time, where, like black people, we would be victims, but it will come back to us as we're being the perpetrators and us being the freaking convicts and being let out, like doing whatever.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
So somebody dies, and next thing you know, their criminal history comes up. What the fuck? Like, he just died. What do you bring up his criminal history for?
Because they don't care.
That's what I'm saying. So that's why she knows. And that's what I'm talking about. So the feel-good story, to go back, is every time something happens where, you know, and I've referenced the overseas dude that beat the crap out of this white dude in a bar. He flew back the next day, so he couldn't get in trouble. And this dude was in a coma. He was this. And all of a sudden, he started coming back. And this dude runs a half marathon. I mean, there was this whole huge story on this dude. Mm-hmm. Huge story. Oh, he came back. He got beat out of him. He was in a coma for whatever months. Now, this black dude that ripped, I'm sure you heard this story, like, he disarmed this dude from shooting up whole place.
The Waffle House.
Yes. Yeah, right? Yeah. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
You heard about it, right? How many times did you see his face on the thing? Do you know what he looks like?
I think it was just that one time.
I had to do research to see what it was.
I saw him because I was at the airport. And he did an interview, and I saw him. But you wouldn't have seen him on regular news.
Not at all. No. Mm-hmm. Not at all.
Regular news, like, they don't show stuff like not that at for all. Us. Like, I realized, like, I didn't want to believe it. When I did have cable, I used to look at News 12 to see, all right, how do they depict us? And I was like, damn, word, they really do. When it's black people and Spanish people, they put our faces out.
Like, it is out. That's right.
And if it's white people, they can hold their head down. You can't see them. Like, it's like, well, they just won't show them. They'll say, oh, it was this person, but they won't put a picture. It's so biased.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's scary. And then you wonder how, you know, why people look at us and they're like intimidated by us. Like, holy shit, this is a black person. You gotta watch out.
Look at that white woman that freaking called in on that barbecue. And you know what? She's completely up. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to, whatever. But, how many times has she seen the news, watched TV, and saw every black perpetrator just freaking going in, mm-hmm. and just whatever. How many times has she seen that?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, she sees something. Oh, they're barbecuing in the park. And then something, maybe she heard something. Maybe she saw black people just doing their thing.
She just saw a group of black people and said, oh my God, there's going to be violence.
Right?
The police. That's exactly what happened.
Because she's seen so much shit on the freaking news and in the media.
I agree. I do agree with you.
So now all of a sudden, boom, oh, they're doing something wrong. I mean, I'm telling you, it's that.
It's happening more and more. It's sad. And it's, you know, a lot of that is also having, you know, as we branch into another topic of discussion, that is also what we get with Trump. With Trump, every racist person is showing their ass.
They're showing their colors right now. Yeah. They're like, they are showing it.
They're like, my country. Y'all had your black my president. Country. Now we got Trump.
Now we got Trump.
A complete idiot that doesn't know. We're going to replace a viable candidate, because at the end of the day, Barack Obama would not have lasted 8 years in the presidency if he wasn't doing a good job. He wouldn't have lasted. So if he had anything bad about him, they would have found it. They were looking for it.
Well, I tell you right now, what Trump is doing is trying to freaking erase Obama.
Yeah, he's trying to erase his legacy, definitely. Yep. But here's one thing that I will say. It's going to sound a bit, you know, too, you know, and I don't understand left, right, wing, whatever.
Right.
It's going to sound different for me.
It's going to sound crazy.
Maybe a little bit. But what I found in paying attention to what happens when the Republicans win after a Democratic presidency is that they try to erase everything that the Democrats did. Mm-hmm. You know, in either party, they try to erase everything. So I've learned not to take it as personally. At first, I was like, oh, he's just trying to get rid of everything that Obama did. But no, when you look back at different presidencies, if a Republican candidate wins, like, they try to erase everything that the Democrats did. So it's not, you don't take it personally. I don't take it personally anymore. I go, well, what he's doing is just erasing everything that
I agree to that extent. But when Obama was in office and how the freaking Republicans went after him,
that was personal. Yeah, it was so racist. It was what it was. It was because, like, yo, you ain't even supposed to be there.
And they didn't even come close So like, what they tried to do to Obama.
Yeah.
And that shit was personal.
Bill Clinton is the man.
Bill Clinton was really the man.
Yeah.
Like, it was, he transcended everybody. Black people, white people, it didn't matter. Like, Bill Clinton was viewed as a person, not as a president. So it was interesting. I mean, I do find it interesting. Like, I wonder what it must have been like back then, like when they voted in Ronald Reagan. Like, Ronald Reagan was a television star, just like Trump, by in his own right, he's a television star. And now he becomes the president. You've never held any political office ever.
Well, wasn't he the governor of California?
No, that was freaking Schwarzenegger. Trump had held no political office.
I thought you were talking about Reagan. I heard you mention
Reagan. Oh, yeah, I did mention Reagan. Yeah. But I kind of transcended to Trump. And I was like, he never held any sort of political office. Like,
here's the thing. And this is what I would agree. Because where we are right now, Trump played the racist card to the freaking T.
To the fullest.
And this is where I will give him credit. I will give, and that's the only thing I will give him credit for, is that he knew how to get the presidency, and that's how he won it. He reached out to those people that just felt left out by Republicans, and obviously by Democrats, but by Republicans as well. He reached out to those people and played the race card, which is why this whole Mexico thing is going on right now. Mm-hmm. It's because he played to them, and he just did it to a T, and that's how he won the freaking election.
I agree with you. He took people's hatred of each other and fears and somehow combined all those people together, and not to mention, I'm pretty sure that he still had the Russians behind him. You know,
probably.
You know,
I'm wondering if Kanye is gonna run, like really run.
If who's gonna run?
Kanye West.
I don't even understand that guy. I really, like, how do you say that?
I'm just saying, we're on the topic of presidents, you know.
That dude said that slavery, he insinuated that slavery was a choice. Like, are you kidding me? Like, no. I just can't. Let's not even talk about it.
Well, first we're talking about media and how certain things are portrayed. So, it could be a scenario where certain things were edited out, and we're only seeing what the media is showing. Or he could have really said that, but meant it in a different way.
I listened to a soundbite of Kanye ranting about one topic into another and leading into 400 years of slavery. 400 years sound like a choice to me. That's exactly how he said it and what he said.
But what form of slavery?
Slavery. He's talking about slavery.
Right, but I don't think that's what he meant.
No, that's what he... What else did he mean?
Did you watch the video with Charlamagne? Like an hour. And
so there was another. There was another perspective.
What
that
else
came out.
Could he have meant?
A mental slavery.
No, that's not what he meant. He meant literally. He meant slavery. He did not mean it.
But how do we know?
Because that's.
Did you talk to him?
That's how the topic was brought up in the soundbite. Like in the soundbite, he was referring to actual slavery, not mental slavery.
Did you talk to him?
Clearly, I didn't talk to him.
So, that is the end of the conversation.
Definitely.
Yeah. Do you have any last words?
I think that it was a great conversation. I'm going to have some fun editing this. But,
no, this is raw. There's no editing.
Oh, excuse me.
There's no editing here.
Ray Victory says...
Ray Victory. You want to explain who Ray Victory is?
I'm explaining who Ray Victory is? No, there's no need to explain. If you don't know who Ray Victory is, then you're just a little too young. It's okay.
Wow. I'll be okay. Wow. I'm not old, but I'm older than 24. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay. That's all right. That's all right.
We should have conversations like this more often.
Sure. I like to talk, so it's okay.
Well, hopefully Freaky Friday will be in full effect.
I'm good with Freaky Friday. Ray Victory says, I'm good with Freaky Friday.
Well, it'll be nice to have you on the show for next time.
Cool. Let's have a fun topic.
Yeah, definitely, sex. Definitely.
Let's talk about sex, baby.
Bye. Bye, Felicia.